Well, welcome to break 15. Let's continue what we were talking about in break 14 regarding 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And the simple observation to me is that Christianity today has lost its joy, has lost its encouragement, has lost its peace, has lost its direction, has lost its strength. It's actually lost the truth of it, and it's lost the Savior, and it's lost God. It's lost the true purpose of it, of a local church. It's lost pastors preaching the truth, and as a result, it's lost true, sincere Christians. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." See, that verse is written to us, and that verse could create fear amongst Christians. You see, this verse is for the tribulation. This is to the people in the tribulation. This verse is not to us. If we were to look at verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And if you don't understand the division of the scriptures, you could try to apply that to yourself, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." But then if a preacher would put that on you, then he would say, "But see, you're losing your faith, and so you're not resisting like you should. And so the devil can get you when you're in your weakest point." That's how they can take that thing. These pastors, these people, do not teach and preach the faith of Jesus Christ. I think all of them know that their faith can come and go. They're just not willing to publicly admit it. But it's true, because it happens to all of us. But if we were during the tribulation, your faith has to stay strong. Has to. Let's look at verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus," oh, that sounds so good, you know, "after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you." See, during the tribulation, they are going to have to be complete, perfect. They're going to have to be established, strong, strengthened. They're going to have to be settled, or they're going to give up, and they're going to lose their salvation. Seriously? Well, I'll show you some verses here. If we're going to claim 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and use that on people today, or somebody uses that on you, you need to respond to them. Well, okay, there, friend, if that's the case, if that verse is for me, let's look at some other verses, okay? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." Honestly, has everybody lived that clean in their life? Are they suffering in the flesh so much that they have ceased from sin? They have to answer that honestly. They probably won't answer honestly. They'll say, "Well, yes, I do. I mess up a few times. I just ask God to forgive me and ask for his grace." Well, sure, they get that in Hebrews. Now, let's keep going here. Chapter 4, verse 7. Let's look at that. "But the end of all things is at hand." Is it? We're getting closer, aren't we? We're getting closer to the end. But we know something still has to take place. Romans 11, 22. There has to become a difference. The Gentile nation has to be cut off, and we have to start that tribulation. We don't have to worry about the end. We do not have to endure unto the end. We have to endure, be a soldier of Christ, and Paul talks about those things. It's not going to be an easy life. He says we must suffer persecution, but it isn't because the end of all things is at hand. "Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." And above all things, in verse 8, is this verse to us today? "Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Well, see, remember, during the tribulation, that walk, those sins, yeah, charity will have an important point. But does charity cover our sins today? Does Paul teach that? And I have to ask, does Paul teach that? Because your pastor will teach you that charity shall cover the multitude of your sins. He will teach you that. I've heard it. Let's look at chapter 5. We can go back to verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So is that a crown we're looking for today? Chief shepherd? Well, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a sheep. And yes, he's the chief shepherd, but he is not my chief shepherd. See, this is written to the Jews. This is written to the tribulation people. Crown of glory. Now, I've heard pastors preach and teach the 5 different crowns, the 7 different crowns. They've got the crown thing all wrong. They're teaching about crowns that will be given during the tribulation. Okay, let's keep going here. Are these verses to us? No, these verses aren't to us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "And how can this be encouraging? Because if you've heard this preached to you, or this is in the back of your mind because you believed this at one time, you can throw it out. This is tribulational stuff. We have the dispensation of grace. We've got the glory of God. We've got the riches of Christ. What are those riches again? The riches of His goodness, of His glory, of His grace, of the glory of His inheritance, of His grace and His kindness toward us, in the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which Paul, again, is the only one that teaches that. And we have the riches of the full assurance of understanding. This marvelous days we're living in for us. We understand what's going on. We don't like it. We see Romans chapter 1 just coming out of the woodwork everywhere. But it's not the devil walking around looking for who he can devour, because when that happens, we'll be gone. That's our joy in this series of breaks this morning, this evening, this afternoon, whatever. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Yeah, that's true. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Is that the call of God to us during the dispensation of grace? Is that we should follow the steps of Jesus Christ? You know, the famous footprints picture. Should we live the kind of life that he lived? You go to the Gospels, well, of course, that's what you need to teach. You're teaching the people that you should follow in Jesus' steps. Well, that's not what Paul teaches. We're to follow Paul. We're supposed to follow Paul's manner of life, but we don't need to follow the steps of Jesus. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're just kind of bouncing around here. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verses 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Well, that's an interesting verse. Is that applicable today? Well, it could be. You know, preachers and teachers that promise you liberty, for they themselves are the servants of corruption. Yeah, those would be pastors that are preaching the false truth. Those would be the priests that live the lifestyle they live. That would be anybody who's promising them liberty. Well, let's pin it down a little bit more. Because in verse 20 it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Is that what we have to fear today? That if we escape the pollutions of the world, oh, wait a minute, can we escape the pollutions of the world? Where do you work? Look at your family. Look at the neighbors. Look at the community you live in. Look at television. Look at the entertainment. Look at the news. Look at what's going on. Can we escape from those pollutions of the world? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, we can spiritually. But see, this isn't talking to us spiritually. This is talking physically. Because you can be entangled therein and overcome by those pollutions of the world, and you'll be worse off than when you started. And yet we learn from Paul that we get caught up in some stuff again, you can get out of it, step right up again, and keep right on going. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Then they go to the classic preaching verse about the dog has turned to his own vomit again. See, and I've heard preachers preach that. Boy, if you got a preacher preaching that or teaching that, or a youth pastor teaching that to your kids, you got a problem. And you're going to run out of joy. You're going to have this fear. Oh, I gave in. I fell. I stumbled. I looked at that again. I heard that again. I listened to that again. I went there again. If I keep doing this, I could end up worse than I am. That's a classic fear message there. Now let's go to Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Is this something we husbands have to worry about? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, it seems to me that if that verse were applicable to us, and you've been divorced from your first wife, then your prayers will be continually hindered. And I know a pastor will preach that. No, your prayers are not hindered because you and your wife don't get along, etc., etc. See, you can go down to verse 1 here in chapter 3, and this is a classic verse that puts a heavy hand on their wives. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And it goes on and on in those verses, meek and quiet spirit, etc., etc. So if a husband is abusive, physically abusive, the church, the pastor, that husband who's a Christian, will pull those verses out and put that on you as a wife. And you are a miserable, unhappy, being abused wife. And that doesn't have to be that way. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with that. you can get out of that. Tribulation? No, you'll have to stay there, and you need to be that strong wife, and you'll be abused, and you'll have those problems. You'll have to be that weaker vessel, and et cetera, et cetera. And men, during the tribulation, prayers will be hindered if not doing the right thing. But see, that's not the case today. That isn't written to us. Look at verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Boy, I tell you what, we're going to have to talk about the righteous Christians today that think that they're living such a righteous life, that God is listening to them. But those don't do the right thing every day. We maybe have the wrong job, or we do the wrong, you know, that kind of stuff. They say, but the face of the Lord is against you because you're doing evil. Pastors will preach that. And so we'll go to Psalms, and we'll go to the Old Testament. We'll go to these books in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We'll try to live that perfectly sinless life. And God tells us in Romans chapter 11 that you become conceited if you don't understand the truth about this dispensation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 is not written to us. The righteousness we have, it's His righteousness. And He is open to our prayers. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. That the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Actually, those evil people out there get a hold of the Scriptures, get a hold of rightly dividing, find out what the risen Savior has done for them if they would just accept Him in their faith. He'd be there for them. Now, there's so many things going on in the pulpit study that are so wrong, and Christians do not understand the joy of Christianity. Well, let's move on to break 16 here.